Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I'm Dr. Fiona Lovely, and this is the Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast. I'm taking the taboos of menopause and perimenopause and bringing light to the dark. No bullshit, no shame. It's time for us to gain a new paradigm in female health, out with the old and in with the new, and I'm bringing fresh perspectives from someone in the arena. I've been practicing women's health for nearly 20 years, and I'm spilling the tea on what it means to live at midlife, knowing that the best is yet to come. I'm sharing my Gen X approach to living through this transition, sassy, a bit sweary, and always honest. Tactical tips and instantly usable information is my aim. I hope to make you laugh and that you learn something new that helps you embrace the change. Together, we bring power to the peri. Onward to the podcast. Hi, friends. Welcome back to the podcast and happy new year. It's 2023. Hard to believe, really. I don't know how you guys feel about the last couple of years, but I'm just really glad they're over and looking forward to much, much better things coming, brighter days ahead. So recently I had the pleasure of interviewing Magdalena Shalaki of Hormone Balance, of the Hormones Balance community. And like me, she's been around on this, I would say, hormone conversation for women for a really, really long time. And we had such a broad-ranging conversation. For the most part, we talked about breast health, and she even walks us through how to do a breast massage for lymphatic drainage, which is awesome. By the way, if you want the video version of that so you can actually see what she and I are doing on the screen, the video interviews are always available on my Patreon page, and I will post that link in your show notes. So we talked about everything from breast health to estrogen dominance, heavy bleeding, hair loss, mood swings, anxiety and sleep depression, sleep disruption being part of a progesterone deficiency. I mean, we covered it all, which was really, really cool. And I just love these kinds of conversations because it's bringing you tactical information right to your very own earballs so that you can get these things implemented in your life as easily as possible. There's no longer the barrier of having to go and wait and see an expert. So I am going to introduce Magdalena and read her bio now for you. And here we go. Magdalena Shalaki is the founder of Hormones Balance Community and Willena Products, supplements made by women for women. Her online platform and products are dedicated to helping women to balance hormones naturally. A published author of Cooking for Hormone Balance and Overcoming Estrogen Dominance, Magdalena is an endocrine nutrition expert, certified herbalist, speaker, educator, and a published author with a long history of her own hormonal challenges. These challenges include Graves and Hashimoto's disease and estrogen dominance. Today, she is happy to report she's in full remission. And while sailing through perimenopause, she teaches women how to accomplish the same. Okay, on to the interview. I'm excited to bring this one to you. I would like to acknowledge our sponsor, Athletic Greens, which is now called AG1. This is a vitamin, mineral, and probiotic greens drink. It helps me boost my energy and gives me the nutrients I need in case I don't get what I want and need in my diet for the day. It tastes great, and it has mushrooms and digestive enzymes and adaptogens for adrenal health. I take it once a day. It's truly an all-in-one supplement. If you would like to try AG, please visit athleticgreens.com/FionaLovely, and they'll send you a year's supply of liquid vitamin D3 with K2 and 5 free travel packs, which come in mighty handy for getting your AG on the go. Thanks, Athletic Greens, for sponsoring the Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast. All right. Good morning, everybody. Dr. Fiona Lovely of the Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast here, and I am thrilled to be joined today by Magdalena Shalaki, and you guys might know her. She has been around a while. She's been talking women's health for quite a while here, so we're going to dive into her experience as an expert in women's health, but thank you for listening, and let's just jump right in. So thrilled to have you here today, Magdalena. Thank you for making time for us.
Thank you so much. And thank you for, you know, creating the awareness about breast health. It's just such a, I think it's such an underestimated topic, really.
Yeah. And, you know, we are going to talk at length about breast health. And you're right. It is absolutely one of those areas in women's health, or at least it's part of what's usually covered. There's so many things about women's health in traditional medicine that are not being looked at, but at least the bikini parts are, right? But they're looked at in a way where we're expecting something awful to happen instead of saying, this is a natural and normal part of my body that I'm going to embrace and share the self-care expertise that we're trying to teach people, folks like you and me. And I'd love to hear how you got introduced to the idea of estrogen dominance.
Yeah. So, and connect the dots here that a lot of breast issues are due to estrogen dominance too, right? So that's why we are kind of starting off with that topic. So yeah, estrogen dominance is, you know, something that plagued me for, I think, as long as I remember from being a teenager and assuming that that was normal to be in a fetal position just before my period or in the first day of my period. You know, with two types of painkillers and skipping school. And my parents knew that I wasn't doing it because I want to skip school. I just wasn't able to get up. And so, you know, and then as it evolved, it was always like, you know, these sort of pesky things like having a terrible mood swing around just before my period, right? I want to bite people's heads off. And typically that would happen to people you love the most, which is like the irony of it, right? It's like, and then you have to pedal your way out of being nasty and having that mood swing and apologize and all of that. And it's like, it's not me, it's my hormones, right? But, you know, most people don't want to really hear it. And then in my late 20s, that's when I first found my first breast lump. And it was on one breast. So if you go to Dr. Google, if you have a breast cyst or a lump on one breast, then it could be more indicative of breast cancer. And since I have family history on both sides of my family of a lot of estrogenic kind of cancers, both my mom's and my dad's side have had sisters and cousins who women who passed away from ovarian cancers, uterine cancers, breast cancers, right? So I basically looked, you know, I mean, now I'm just giving you like the perspective of what I know now, right? It's like, I look at it as, and I receive the genes from both sides of my parents of being a really slow estrogen metabolizer, right? And so, you know, and so really that's where the whole thing kind of started. And then after that, started having thyroid nodules. So apart from Hashimoto's, I was when I had a sonogram done, I had three nodules on my thyroid, right? And you know, and the PMS has just continued on for many years, and it was just like, you know, you kind of cancel out 2-3 days out of your month because of that, right? And unless you just, I take painkillers and that gets me through. So, you know, I think that was the major side of my symptoms. And what I've realized as I was having Hashimoto's, I focused a lot on addressing Hashimoto's and autoimmune component of like what's causing it, why is it happening? But as I started cleaning up my diet, I also started seeing that, wait, my period has gotten better, you know? And then my thyroid nodules disappeared when I had a sonogram again, right? And, you know, and my breast lumps were good when I was behaving as in, you know, when I would go to Italy or Portugal and I have a lot of coffee and wine and some gluten here and there, you know, I'll come back and I have breast lumps and I have period from hell, right? And so that's just how my body responds to inflammatory foods. And that definitely translates to a lot of estrogen dominance. What I've realized is there was becoming more and more resources for Hashimoto's disease and autoimmunity and the different diets and what can help. And that felt very empowering. But when I was ready to kind of peel the onion and move on to estrogen dominance, I realized there was really nothing out there to really help me understand. And then at one point I started losing hair. And at that time, my thyroid numbers were perfect. So I was just like, you know what? It's not the thyroid that's causing my hair loss. There's something else here. And so I was really lucky to see a functional doctor in New York where I lived there at that point. And she said, you know what, let's just do this one marker called 2-16 hydroxyestrone, just to see how you're metabolizing estrogen, because maybe estrogen dominance was causing your hair loss. And, you know, and not surprisingly, it came back showing that I definitely had an issue. I had very elevated the 16 hydroxyestrone. And then the question became like, then what do I do now? Right. And so I started off, you know, researching, and then all these research stuff started coming up like, oh, actually flaxseed, even though flaxseed is estrogenic, but actually blocks the receptors for dirty, what I call now dirty estrogens. Or, you know, and then the other revelation was like, oh, wow, my liver actually is huge in metabolizing estrogens. And so I should do some liver TLC. And I'm just like, wow, I'm like piecing all this information together from the internet and from, you know, practitioners, but no one was really focusing on estrogen dominance. And this is when I decided that, you know, I think this is really what I should dedicate and make it a point and a mission of my practice, to really serve women who struggle with that. And, you know, can I talk about the symptoms of estrogen dominance? Is that okay? Because, you know, I mentioned already a few, but here's a long list, right? So, you know, we talked about PMS, but PMDD as well, right? So heavy periods, scanty periods, very painful periods, lack of periods, right? So any period irregularities is oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes fueled by estrogen dominance. And then you move on to mental stuff. So like things like having these terrible mood swings, right? You know, where you just, like I said, you regret later what you said. You know, things that are things like fibroids, right, is largely fueled by estrogen dominance. We talked about fibrocystic breast, lumps on the breast, cysts on the breast. You know, I mentioned fibroids, but also polyps in the uterine, polyps are largely due to estrogen dominance, right? And so, and then you look at like some physiological things, like women who are your typical pear shape, right? So if I put on weight, it all goes in my butt and my legs, right? And this will be, fat, cellulite, right? And then a lot of women who struggle with estrogen dominance will hit the gym, will go to the gym 4 or 5 times a week and work themselves, work really hard, right? And they just can't lose that weight there. And so it's interesting that where your body deposits fat in the body is actually an indication of what kind of hormonal imbalance you're dealing with. And unless and until you correct that hormonal imbalance, it's going to be really hard to lose that weight. Women, for example, who store a lot of fat around their abdomen tend to be more of metabolically compromised, which means that high blood sugar levels, high inflammatory markers due to that could also be high testosterone levels. So like women with PCOS, right, oftentimes have elevated testosterone and also have high testosterone levels. So you know, let's see what else. Interestingly, in men, estrogen dominance can happen in men too. So if you have a guy in your life, if your guy is struggling with men boobs, very apart from the fact that it's very unattractive, it's like, get on the estrogen dominance, you know, protocol to address that, and your guy is going to benefit from that. Prostate issues, swelling of a prostate as well as prostate cancer, are also estrogenic. And let me just also finish by saying that, you know, two more things I want to talk about. There's two types of different forms of estrogen dominance. The other type of estrogen dominance is not so much about how your body breaks down those estrogens to the clean and dirty ones, but it's about the balance between estrogen and progesterone. So if your progesterone is too low and your estrogen is too dominant, right, then that's when also you could be experiencing estrogen dominance. And these symptoms will be slightly different. So this will be things like suddenly feeling really anxious, having sleeping problems, start having, you know, just scanty periods, very short luteal phase, right? So instead of having nice 14 days in from your ovulation to your period, suddenly you're becoming 6 and 7 days, which is, you know, if you're going through menopause and perimenopause, it's perfectly normal. Like there's nothing to worry about that, right? And it's, you know, when the whole idea is that your period is finally is going to kind of like, you know, dry off, right? And that will happen. But if it's, you know, if that's combined with sleeplessness, with waking in the middle of the night, can't go back to sleep, with feeling anxious, with having, you know, osteoporosis, a lot of people think of calcium as being the cause of osteoporosis, right? Osteopenia. But, you know, the one thing that is hugely forgotten, apart from, calcium is one thing, but it's also vitamin D3, K2, boron. I mean, there's so many manganese, there's so many other things to form the bones, but a lot of people forget the fact that even if they correct these nutritional deficiencies and they still have osteopenia, osteoporosis, it's because of dropping estrogen on low progesterone levels. So progesterone like creates the scaffolding in a bone. Estrogen helps to come and deposit all those minerals into the bone, right? So that could be another symptom. And then lastly, you know, when it comes to estrogenic cancer, so like estrogen receptor positive cancers, so the classical ones would be breast cancer, which is a majority of cancers in developed countries. It's not genetic. It's not like the, you know, Angelina Jolie kind of a thing. That's more of an anomaly than a rule, right? And you know, and then you have ovarian cancer, uterine cancer, endometrial cancer. Thyroid cancer, interestingly, also grows due to excess of the dirty estrogens, what I call, right? So, you know, so those are, and those are the cancers that my family has struggled with, obviously without having addressed them throughout. We have a joke in my family that, you know, no woman has a uterus after 50. It's kind of my dad kind of started that joke because his sister lost it in her late 40s. And so, you know, I'm turning 50 in a month's time. And, you know, and so I'm planning to hold on to my uterus way longer than that. You know?
I'm not far behind you, sister. I'm 50 next summer.
All right.
So, yeah. And so far I've avoided exactly what you've just talked about too. So thank you for that. Like, talk about a super quick masterclass on how estrogen works in the body. That's fantastic. Thank you. Can you talk a little bit about what happens, estrogen dominance and breast health?
Yeah. Okay. So a couple of things that happens with that. So the first thing is estrogen, can I just maybe talk about estrogen, that estrogen is not a bad thing? Because I just want to kind of clarify that, because we get, you know, I get on these podcasts or I do videos and then people email us later saying, I don't understand, why are you suggesting things like flaxseed in your cookbooks, or black cohosh or red clover, or, you know, red raspberry leaf, that are all estrogenic, if I'm already estrogen dominant, that doesn't make any sense. And it's a plausible, you know, question, right? So I just want to make it really clear, as much as estrogen dominance is a very helpful framework that was created and a name that was given to a set of conditions, you know, the fact of the matter is that we need estrogen as women to function properly, right? In fact, that the fact that you are sitting here or you're driving or whatever you're doing, listening to this podcast, and you have the cognitive ability to do so, you can sit up straight, right? You are present, your skin is, you know, nice and plump, and all of that is just indication that you have some level of estrogen. So, and we need estrogen as women. We need it for our moist vaginas, we need it for healthy hair, for bones we talked about, for skin, for our brains, right? So I don't want to demonize estrogen in any way. The problem begins with two things, is two types of estrogen dominance. One is how your body breaks down that estrogen, and that happens in the liver and the gut. There's specific bacteria in the gut that metabolize estrogen in an either clean stream or dirty stream. And the liver is the same way. There are specifically three pathways in the liver that metabolize estrogens. And so if those, you know, the liver is very taxed. So think of the liver as like a sieve, right? Many years you're just like pouring things over it. And over time that sieve gets gunked up. If you don't clean on a regular basis, and it doesn't, I'm not talking about some extreme, you know, cleanses and detoxes. It's just like, it could be an ongoing daily thing. Then there is a problem with metabolizing estrogen. So that's one form of estrogen, how we metabolize sort of clean stream and dirty stream. The other one is the progesterone to estrogen ratio that I talked about. So progesterone to estradiol specifically, that's the more aggressive estrogen, if you will. This is really important to understand that first. And so when we have issues with our breast, you know, it's not because we have too much of estrogen. We have typically, the way we break down those estrogens is incorrect. We need to support the body in doing a much better job. And so when you have that excess estrogen of those dirty estrogens, just call them, right? And for those of you who are a little bit more technical, if you have that in your Dutch test, I'm talking here about the 4 and the 16 hydroxyestrone. Those are the two that are problematic. The 4 could be problematic, it's not always is, and the 16 is the troublemaker. And then if you look at the amount of estradiol that you have, the E2 hormone, right? If it's too high, the problem with measuring hormones like estradiol is that when you're exposed to, for example, synthetic perfumes, you're using a lot of cleaning products, skincare products, they're like advertised on television, mass media. If you haven't cleaned up your, you know, skincare routine, your cleaning products in the house, right? And you're inhaling a lot of these things, they go through your body, they get into the lymphatic system, into the blood, they will still show up as estradiol. And there's no way of measuring this. Labs have no ability to measure to show you how much is your natively produced estradiol versus how much of it is coming externally, what we call through it xenoestrogens, and how much of it is actually healthy versus, you know, how much of it is actually coming from synthetic sources, which are problematic. So looping back to your original question about like what's happening with estrogen and with breasts. So the breasts are, let's just maybe start off with the fact that when you have an excess estrogen, it's a highly, the body goes into a highly inflammatory state. So a lot of women who find that when they're estrogen dominant, they're very inflamed. They're very puffy. They have problems sleeping. They have, you know, like swelling on the thyroid. It's just like generally when you're inflamed, you kind of know it. You know, it's, there's this puffiness, there's this fatigue. Some women actually feel it on the inside of their body. Like there's this low grade fire that's going on, right? So that's what estrogen can be definitely contributing towards. What happens in the breast is that the breast is like, it's got a highway of lymphatic passages. And think of the lymphatic system as like a highway, a network of highways with that wet junk and trash, right? Rubbish gets evacuated through those. And so when they are nice and open, it's all like nicely moving highway. Everything is moving along, is all great. What happens with estrogen, when there's excess estrogen, it creates a lot of inflammation in the breast, it creates a lot of swelling. And, you know, when things swell up, things don't move properly in the breast anymore, right? And so this is where, when you look at women, for example, who had a thermogram done or a sonogram, a lot of the time, there is engorgement of the breast that's happening, right? The minute they address estrogen dominance, estrogen comes down, we metabolize it properly, we poop it out, right? And, you know, the body is, again, like the liver is working better, the digestion is working better, the person is pooping again because constipation causes all that, all those estrogens to be recycled. That's when it's like the breasts really benefit from that as well. It's like the sense of inflammation comes down a lot. So it's basically the main thing is the inflammatory effect that estrogen has on our lymphatic system in the breast. And if you also think about it, you know, there is a lot of lymphatic... Sorry, my doggy.
It's all good.
She's right there.
Oh, hi, sweetheart.
Yeah, so, you know, that's basically, that's like the gist of it, really.
So there is, I'm sure, a way to do a natural sort of lymphatic drainage for the breast tissue. Do you have any thoughts around that?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I would love to show our listeners today, like if you're listening to this, I'll just give you instructions and it will be easy to follow. And if you're watching this on a video, then it's obviously straightforward. So first of all, you can massage your breast, not from a perspective of looking for trouble, but it's more from a perspective of really just giving a lot of TLC to your own breast and do it on a daily basis. If you are someone who's struggling with a lot of swelling and, you know, inflammation, engorgement of the breast, there's some women, you know, who can't even put on a bra during certain times of the month. And there's others who go from cup A to cup C within a course of 3-4 days, right? And so that is all of that just shows you there's a lot of inflammation that's going on and we can support the lymphatic system really easily. So the way you wanna do this is you wanna massage your breast, but doing it in a way that is, we wanna be, first of all, naked. Number two, you wanna do it in the shower when you're fully nicely leathered up with some nice clean soap, you know, not like any of those nasty commercial brands, but like something nice, like a Castile soap, Dr. Bronner's kind of a soap, right? But you can also do that with a cream or an oil when you are like just came out of your shower, right? You can do it in the morning. You can do it at night before going to bed. There is no fast and hard rule. So the way you want to do this, I'm going to be massaging my left breast. So you want to move up, you want to lift up your arm and then put your hand behind your head, right? At the base of your head. And the one thing, great, you're doing it with me.
Yes.
the one thing to think of is that your exit point is the space between your armpit and your neck. So that's like, is right up here. So it's between your neck and your armpit, right? So that's like basically where your shoulder is, right? If I put the head down, hand down, that's your shoulder. And you move it back. So this is the direction that we want to be massaging the breast and moving the lymphatic system towards this spot here. Okay. So not down, not to the side, but up here. And you want to start off from your nipple. So my nipple is right here right now. And then very gently putting a pressure all the way up to that exit point. The pressure you want to apply, it's a little bit like, you know, honey sticks. Imagine like if you want to get the honey out of the honey stick, right? You know, it's that kind of pressure. Then we want to move on. So I started off with 12 o'clock. Now I'm going to be moving to 2 o'clock. And again, the same thing with my full palm. I'm just going to be moving and then let's move on to 3 o'clock. And then again, moving, I'm not wearing the best top for this.
Me neither.
Now let's look at 6 o'clock because that's when a lot of people have a question. So when you come to 6 o'clock, which is the bottom part of your nipple, right? And so then you go down and then you bring it back up here again. Okay. So
did
it's
you
down, you wanna, no. Yep. So if you're down on the nipple, so yep. Then down and then go up.
And in through the middle towards the sternum.
That's yeah. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, and then you, you know, just finish it off and then, you know, now I'm changing direction because now we're going clockwise and then moving on to 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, etc. It literally takes you a couple of minutes to do that. Then you do the same thing with your other side, right? And repeat the process. It's a lot more fun to do that when you're naked. Yes, rather than doing it through clothing, then now you and I both have to be correcting. Yeah, you know, and that's something that a lot of, I actually learned this technique from many years ago from our community. Somebody said, I had such terrible breast pain that I couldn't exercise. I couldn't work out. I didn't want to be intimate with my husband. It was like off, you know, off touch zone for many days in a month, right? And she went to see this practitioner in North Carolina and Charlotte, called Gay Walden. And she said, you know what? She started showing me how to massage the breast. She used an oil that contained poke roots. And, you know, and that's really what the magic was. So massaging is one thing. What you're massaging it with is, at the least, you know, do something like we said, clean soap or some kind of oil or nice clean cream. If you want to take it to the next level, then, you know, there's a few herbs that have an incredible impact on the breast tissue. And so historically in Western herbalism for women's health, poke root is just so incredible. Pokeweed is a plant that's very weedy, especially on the East Coast of the United States. In the South, a lot of people know poke. It's a real weed. But the root is what the magic is. And it's harvested in fall, it's been used for, then it's infused into oil. You can find them on, some people make that on Etsy, where they actually infuse it it's only in fall that it can be harvested. So make sure you get one that's fairly fresh. And then, you know, so poke root, Phytolacca americana, is an herb that for centuries, women's herbs advocates and women's health experts will use that for women who are having problems with breastfeeding, who have a lot of nostalgia, for lumps. But it's also amazing for the uterus too. So things like PMS, fibroids, polyps, poke root has got an incredible affinity specifically for women's, reproductive organs. So I have personally a lot of love for poke root because of that. I have, you know, and so that's part of the reason why we formulated our product that contains poke root as well. But you can, you know, and so that's one amazing root. The other oil that is really worthwhile considering if you're shopping for something special for your breast is St. John's wort. St. John's wort has a lot of limitations when it comes to taking it internally because it can interfere with SSRIs and a lot of other medications, but it also tells you how potent of an herb it is, right? However, when it's applied topically, my first experience with John's wort was I was at the hot spring and I just got my period and it was a really bad period. And so they have this gift shop and I went there, it was like a spa and they had a gift shop. I went to a gift shop and they have this moon cream, they call it, right? And so I look at the moon cream and it had the usual suspects like lavender oil, just a couple of other clary sage, which is like the classical, you know, PMS kind of a essential oil. But then it has St. John's wort. And I was just like, huh, this is interesting because that's different. And so I applied it on my uterus. And I can tell you, Fiona, like literally within 20, 30 minutes, like 60, 70% of my pain was gone without doing anything else, like no painkillers, no, you know. And so that's what that was really what, you know, when you experience something on yourself, then your conviction on a specific herb and the resonance that we have towards that kind of herb and its efficacy and its work for women, you know, is just so much closer, right? So anyway, so those are some of the things that, you know, one can do. St. John's wort, poke root, infused oils, those are some really great ones. One more oil that's really great for massaging breasts is that you'll find it in capsules. So many of you have, I'm sure, heard about evening primrose oil. It is high in gamma linoleic acid, GLA. It doesn't have to come from evening primrose. You can also get it from borage seed oil. Also, actually, I prefer borage because it's got like three times more GLA content as compared to evening primrose. But the point is that just, you know, you find those capsules, right? And they're soft gels and this oil inside. Just take a knife, poke a hole in it, squeeze the oil out, and you can use that on your breasts as well. The reason why it's working for like women with PMS, right, is because it's so highly anti-inflammatory. It works on the prostaglandins that it blocks the receptors for prostaglandins, the inflammatory ones, but it also enhances the pain-killing prostaglandins, right? So just an incredible oil. And you can definitely take it internally for breast pain, and you can also apply it externally, you know, at the same time. And I like to call it, in herbalism, we call it 1+1=5, meaning if you just take something internally and then apply it topically, the results are just exponential. So you are showing off your cat. I just want to show you, this is my other dog.
Hi, sweetheart.
He's like, I think there's a cat on the screen. And I think it's time for me to make my appearance.
What's his name?
Charlie.
Charlie is lovely. Yes, thank yes. You. Much he's as up. I try to keep my fur babes away.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's
it doesn't happen. Like,
hey, the cat had an appearance. I've got to match that. All right.
You're gonna oh, he's such a handsome boy.
Thank you. He's a sweet boy.
I love what you've just shared. And I know when you, especially in the herbal world, when you have the experience of applying it yourself and feeling, that was the first time I used clary sage for menstrual cramps. It was, I mean, like 2 minutes gone, way faster than anything else without the side effects, et cetera. So,
now, so interesting, right? Because that clary sage worked for you, doesn't do much for me. Plus I don't like the smell of it. Which yes. could be another energetic thing. Like, I'm like, block, right?
I feel that way about geranium. I can't do it. Can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do it. Which, you know, the yoga teachers would tell you the pose that you are avoiding is the one you're supposed to do, because it's the one that's supposed to heal you. But yeah. a much different conversation. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have taken the wisdom that you have just shared with me here and put these particular herbals into a product in your product line. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So, you know, we make very clean supplements that are specifically for women's hormones. And the latest one that we've just released called Happy Sisters. So the name obviously refers to breast. And this is the cream. So let me talk a little bit about the cream first. We formulated it in a way that it contains, first of all, it's like nice and pink, just like your nipples or your breast. And it's very fast to absorb. One of the things about using like oils from, you know, just oil is that it takes time to absorb. So if somebody wants to put on a pajama and go to bed, or want to put on a bra and start the day, it takes time to absorb. So we spent a long time formulating in a way that it doesn't have that. And so it absorbs really quickly. It's like something between a cream and a gel. And so a lot of the things that I mentioned here, so it does have poke root. It does have St. John's wort. We also have ginger. So ginger is very warming. Like if you had a chai, right? Ginger or ginger tea, it warms you up. We purposely put ginger essential oil into it to warm up the breast. Remember how we talked about the lymphatic system? You want it to be open and relaxed, right? We have GLA oil in here, gamma linoleic acid. We also have castor oil that helps to penetrate deeper into the tissue. We also use black cumin oil, which is also known as Nigella sativa. In the Middle East, Nigella sativa is, you know, called the oil that cures everything but death.
Okay, I'll have some, thanks.
I can't remember what I think that's the gist of it. And then some really gentle essential oils. It doesn't have a very strong smell. And
is
so
is there St. John's wort in that?
Yes, there is St. John's wort in here. Yes. Yeah, it's infused with fresh St. John's wort from a farm in Colorado, actually. And then, you know, and then we also came up with a supplement that specifically addressing three things. One is the estrogen dominance component. So we have things like DIM, calcium deglucarate in here, magnesium, right? All of that is super helpful for breast tissue. But on the other hand, we also have we have andrographis, which is an herb that helps to, you know how I talked about the clean stream versus the dirty stream and estrogen. So andrographis together with yerba santa, another herb, we have found it works on different pathways in the liver, but essentially the result is the same, that it helps to skew estrogen metabolism towards the clean estrogens away from the dirty estrogens. So, and then another herb that's in here is red root, which is addressing it's a huge lymphagogue. So it opens up, it stimulates lymphatic movement in the body, but it does in a very gentle way. And it's also a liver supporting herb. Let's see what else. We have also gamma linoleic acid in here. So that's why the thing is made in a capsule. And the reason why it's in a capsule, not in a dry powder, is because of the oils in there. I'll just show you. You know, it's like that. So it's got oil in it. And that's a gamma linoleic acid that's in here as well. So that's like, those are some of the major ingredients. And so we are addressing here inflammation, estrogen dominance, lymphatic stagnation in the breast. And the reason why we put this together is because, you know, I always believe that, you know, when you do something in herbalism, we always like to support the body. Like if you have a problem with something on the outside, like say you have eczema, right? It's really about supporting the, you know, whatever cream you're putting on the eczema, it's also doing things on the inside of the body that was going to cure and clear things out really quickly. So things like doing some liver support stuff, supporting the gut, right? I mean, eczema might not be the best example because eczema a lot of time is due to food sensitivities that is, you know, that's causing that. I had eczema as a kid and that was all because of eggs and my food sensitivity to eggs. But anyway, but you get the point, right? That is something that inside, outside, you know, that's why I said in herbalism, we call it 1 + 1 = 5 because you get the exponential result when you do something on the inside of the body to address the root cause of a problem. And then something topically just to really, you know, reduce the pain and feel good about your breast, you know, really quickly, right?
So in terms of using these, the Happy Sisters products, is it something that you would, let's say someone who is in their 30s and having breast issues versus the perimenopause or menopause transition crowd, is there a, you know, is there a cyclic sort of element to it? Do you take it days 14 to 28? Is it something you take all the time?
Yeah, that's a great question. So you can take it throughout the cycle. And for people who don't have a cycle anymore, you just take it. We've designed it for 60 days. And then, you know, and that should be enough, especially from the supplement perspective, is to clear out a lot of the estrogen and to help the body. The, you know, the best results is going to be when somebody also changes their diet and supports the whole thing throughout with proper diet, enough sleep, you know, movement, having a good bowel movement, all of that, right? That's when I see a lot of people start off with a supplement and then it kind of like resets the body. And with the good habits moving forward, they don't even need one for a long time, if ever. People who either are having a hard time metabolizing estrogens like myself or who are having also bad habits. So meaning I take the supplement, I stop and then, oops, everything comes back again, right? It's, you know, it could be also because of not having made dietary changes. I also find that coffee can make a huge impact on the inflammation in the breast. And so, you know, not all caffeine, but specifically coffee, that seems to be a bigger problem. And so, you know, it's just those are the kind of things you, if you prepare your body to really metabolize estrogen better and lower the inflammation overall, then you don't need products like that in the long term.
Well, I think what's interesting to talk about here is I'm sure there are women listening that are going, well, I just use, you know, my regular old body cream on my girls. And I'm here to say that's not a great idea. And when you start to know the kinds of things you are applying to your body and how quickly it gets absorbed into your bloodstream, it's good to know that, if you're going to be doing any kind of applying any kind of body product over your breast tissue, you better know what's in there and it better be as clean as what goes inside your mouth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think we have to talk about deodorant as well here and antiperspirant. Yeah. I think that's a really important part of this conversation around breast health. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, as I mean, needless to say, this is, remember we talked about a lymphatic system, right? Your armpit here is highly vascularized, it's highly lymphocytized. And so there's so many of them, like if you look at the a chart of like where your lymphatic systems run, you know, look at all the highways that the armpit is just incredibly lymphocytes. So anything that goes in through those antiperspirants, those, anything that contains aluminum, right, is just a big, big no-no. And it's just obviously the proximity to the breast, the fact that it's going to be carried through the body, the breast tissue, you know, the breast tissue is a lot of fat tissue, right? And so fat tends to be very much absorbing a lot of the different toxins. So, you know, that's why they call a lot of the chemicals that are causing obesity in people, they call it obesogens, right? Is because the body stores fat, not because we can't, you're eating improperly because you are lazy and not moving enough and whatnot. People store a lot of fat in there because a lot of times because they're so toxic, and the body would always create the fat in order to store the toxins there because it is a safer method of storage as compared to putting that into the liver or your digestive health, right? Which is just, is going to completely ruin those body organs. So, so the other end, you know, but then the question is, what do you then use? Right. And the good news is that, you know, there's so many different options these days. Like you go into a health food store, a food co-op, you know, even Whole Foods, and there's all these brands like Schmidt and, you know, and a lot of hippie brands, and some of them work, and some people like crystals don't work for me. You know, there's so many different options that are out there. And the other thing, Fiona, I just want to say about deodorant is that there's, you know, I've also found that when you live a really clean lifestyle and your liver is functioning really well, you actually don't stink. So much so that I barely use any deodorant. Yeah, I will smell towards the end of the day. It's not terrible. It's more like, oh, you know, it's just like it's coming to an end of the day. But it's not going to be to a point that I'm embarrassed if somebody walks by me, or I will not give somebody a hug because I stink. And so, but I used to be like that. My feet used to stink really badly. I used to have all these shoe deodorants. You know, once I cleaned up my diet, I don't have that anymore. So, and you know, it's we can do another podcast altogether from just clean products and what to look out for, but I like to do a shortcut. And instead of just giving people all these chemical names that should be avoiding, you know, one of the things you can do is go to like a really nice health food store, you know, like kind of run by a hippie owner who used to be hippie in the 70s and 80s. And now they're kind of like, you know, they're kind of like commercial now. Right. And, you know, and then food co-ops and Whole Foods, I don't think is the cleanest products anymore, but anyway, it's better than like a CVS. And then just pick your brands from there, because guess what? The buyer who buys these products and evaluates these companies, like they typically are very mission-based. They don't want to see aluminum in there, phthalates in there, you know, SLS in there, like a whole list of things that is like a big no-no for them. So they do the homework for you, right? And so in some ways, I feel like this is also a great way of supporting smaller businesses that are not necessarily, you know, Amazon owned, but, you know, your local food co-ops.
Yeah. And, you know, there's an app, Environmental Working Group has a great app that's got a barcode scanner that will kind of rate for you where the product you're interested in.
Exactly.
And I found that to be really helpful, but absolutely find your local hippie store and ask some questions. And, you know, it takes some time. If you're transitioning away from antiperspirant and you've used it for 40 some years, it's not going to happen overnight. You literally have to, there's a detoxifying thing and et cetera that goes along with it. But just to bring it back to what you just said, I would love to have you come back on the podcast and talk about toxins. You just talked about a whole bunch of really interesting stuff.
You know, there is one person that I think will do a way better job with toxins than me. Her name is Lara Edler. Have you interviewed her before?
I have not. No.
Oh my gosh. She is the biggest toxins expert, and in a very manageable way, meaning don't do this, but here's a lot of other things that you can do, you know, so it's empowering rather than scary and limiting. I think you'll love her, and she can talk about everything from shampoos, skincare, fragrances in the house to, you know, you name it, clothing. Yeah.
Fantastic. Oh, I love people like that. Where can people get the Happy Sisters products?
Yeah, it's on our website, wellena.com, wellena.com. It's available there. We're going to soon get it up on Amazon as well. But it would be always better if you support us through our website.
And where can people find you on social media?
Yeah. So if you're an Instagrammer, look for us on Hormone Balance. That's the handle. If you're more on a Facebook person, our fan page is Hormones Within Us, Hormones Balance. That's the community right there.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I have to thank you, first of all, for coming on the podcast, but certainly for being a voice for us in this age group. I know you have been doing this a long time. You're one of the originators here in this space. So for being a custodian for women's health and for dispensing the information that you do, I'm so grateful. I know my listeners are grateful, and I'm sure your community at large is grateful too. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for creating awareness about this topic. It's so needed.
Oh, indeed it is. Onward though, right? Thank you, Magdalena. Have thank a you. Fantastic afternoon. Bye for now.
The views and nutritional advice expressed by Dr. Fiona Lovely are not intended to be a substitute for conventional medical service. If you have or suspect that you have a medical problem, promptly contact your healthcare provider. No information offered here should be interpreted as a diagnosis of any disease, nor an attempt to treat or prevent or cure any disease or condition. As with any new advice or program, you should always contact your healthcare provider prior to starting anything new. Thank you.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.